I guess we should start by looking at that handout, Objectives of the Course, and look through that, which will give an orientation to what we'll be doing for 10 weeks. I've listed four objectives. First, to become acquainted with the historical development of the discipline, which has come to be known as Old Testament theology. Of course, this course is entitled Old Testament Theology. So there's a history of approach to the discipline, and I think we should know something about that historical development. Secondly, become oriented to the basic issues confronting the formulation of an Old Testament theology. This will include such matters as the definition and method of biblical theology in its Old Testament expression, the relation of biblical theology to systematic theology. See, when you talk about Old Testament theology, you're really talking about biblical theology as distinguished from systematic theology. And biblical theology, of course, exists in both its Old Testament and New Testament forms. But that whole question, the question of the relation of Old Testament theology to history and the historical critical method, that's been a long-term issue in this discipline. Question of whether or not the historical materials of the Old Testament are reliable or not, whether the events recorded actually happened. The relationship between the Testaments, the relation of Israel and the church, the matter of typology, question of whether or not there is a center or unifying principle by which one can organize the theological content of the Old Testament, and if so, what is it? Now, those are some questions. We're going to touch on some of these in more detail than on others. But those are some questions. There are more questions. It's a huge subject area, and all kinds of complex issues arise in discussion of Old Testament theology. So it's a big order to try to work with this in 10 weeks. But those are some things that we will discuss among others. Thirdly, to suggest some lines along which biblical theology and its Old Testament New Testament divisions should be approached and developed. And fourth, to become acquainted with the content of Old Testament revelation from a redemptive historical perspective. So I see those four things as what, at least I hope you would get something in each of these areas from the study of this course. Methods employed toward securing course objectives. First, course objective 3 will be treated in lecture format. 3 is some lines along which biblical theology and its Old and New Testament division should be approached and developed. That's this handout, The Idea of Biblical Theology. We'll deal with that today. It's just sort of an overview of method of approach to biblical theology. So we'll deal with that today, the latter part of our session. 2, course objectives 1, 2, and 4 will be treated in connection with seminar-type discussions of the assigned reading of 3 books. 3 books are Gerhard Hassel's Old Testament Theology, Basic Issues in the Current Debate, which is a sort of survey of the history and methodology of approach to Old Testament theology, and what some of the key issues are in that discussion over the years. Secondly, Walter Kaiser's Toward an Old Testament Theology. That is an Old Testament theology written by Walter Kaiser. I think it's, in general, quite a good book. I think you will enjoy reading it and learn from reading it. Thirdly, O. Palmer Robertson, The Christ of the Covenants. That's this book. This is not an Old Testament theology per se. It's really a discussion of the covenants of the Old Testament. If you look at his chapter headings, the first section is Introduction to the Divine Covenants. And then he has a section on the covenant of creation. And then Adam, the covenant of commencement. Noah, the covenant of preservation. Abraham, the covenant of promise. Moses, the covenant of law. And then an excursus, what structures Scripture, covenants or dispensations? David, the covenant of the kingdom. Christ, the covenant of the consummation. So you move through a series of covenants and discusses each one of them. So we'll read that as well. In connection with reading these three books, which is really going to constitute the core of this course, reading these three books, each week, written the responses to questions on specific chapters in these books are to be turned in. That's written responses to questions. Class time will be given to discussion of these same questions. In that handout, there was one section of questions on reading assignment for September 17th. There's three pages there for September 24 and October 1st. Those three pages, let's see, there's four questions on each page. And the first four are on the first two chapters of Hassel, the second four are on the second two chapters, and the third four are on chapters 5 and 6. So you see, we'll take 3 weeks and work through Hassel. You'll read it, read these questions, write some response to these questions, and we'll discuss that material on the due date that's on that sheet. If you just turn over to the second page of this objectives handout, you notice the reading schedule. There are 3 weeks given to each of these three books. So apart from today, we meet 9 more times, and we'll give 3 assignments, 3 assignments in each of the 3 books. So we'll spend 3 weeks on Hassel, 3 on Kaiser, 3 on Robertson. Those are the reading schedule. I will give you additional sheets of questions as we move forward, so you'll get questions for both Kaiser and Robertson's books as we progress. So course objectives 1, 2, and 4 will really be met, hopefully, through this reading material. Thirdly, to aid the student working out his own theological method in treating Old Testament texts, each student is to prepare a biblical theological essay on a passage or topic of his or her choice derived from the book of Exodus. In other words, I want you to think about something from Exodus on which you can write a what I've termed a biblical theological essay. That would involve some exegesis of a passage or a theme, and then drawing out from that the theological significance of the theme or passage you're dealing with. Now, for that assignment, there's another sheet. That's Biblical Theological Essay Guidelines. Let's look at that. And we'll come back to this first sheet. Biblical Theological Essay Guidelines utilize a grammatical, historical, theological method of exegesis in writing your essay, but initially restrict your theological exegesis to the employment of the analogy of antecedent scripture. Now that phrase is taken from Walter Kaiser in his book Toward a Theology of the Old Testament, page 19. Elaborates a bit more on it there. Walter Kaiser defines the analogy of antecedent scripture as, quote, inductive, and it collects only those antecedent contexts which were in the scripture writer's mind as he wrote this new passage, as indicated by the same terminology, formulas, or events to which this context adds another in a series. In other words, what Walter Kaiser is saying is when you come to a given passage in scripture, that passage is usually informed in some way by previous scripture and builds on it, flows forth from it, extends something, whatever. You should utilize that analogy of antecedent scripture in trying to find out what the significance of the passage you're dealing with is. However, this of course raises the question of whether or not it is legitimate to read the New Testament into the Old. Scholars are divided on this issue. That's a question of debate. It seems, however, at least it seems to me, I might add, that one must ultimately place any biblical passage in the context of its function in the entire canon, and thus not refuse to permit the New Testament to perform a role in unpacking the meaning of an Old Testament text. Now, Walter Kaiser takes a kind of dim view of that. His stress is on that analogy of antecedent scripture, which I think is good, but I wouldn't stress that to the exclusion of looking beyond the passage, particularly when you're talking about Old Testament material, looking to the New Testament to see what light the New Testament might throw on that Old Testament passage from a theological perspective. After all, the context of the Old Testament passage is not just in the Old Testament, it's in the context of the entire canon of Scripture. And as Scripture unfolds and more light is thrown on some of these themes, it seems to me that we must also take into consideration what light the New Testament throws on it as well. As Bruce Waltke suggests, the doctrine of canon, a correlative of the doctrine of plenary inspiration, also demands that we use the New Testament in deciding the meaning of the Old. Now, the primary emphasis of your essay should be the exposition of your text or theme in the light of its antecedent Old Testament context. You should, however, move beyond this, if possible, to include some further discussion of your text in the light of its subsequent Old Testament context and its New Testament context, concluding with some comments on its theological significance. Now, those are broad general guidelines, but I think it should give you some idea of what I'm looking for in this essay. At the bottom of the page, and over onto the next, there are a list of 10 topics, which are really sections of the book of Exodus. Those topics and sections I just took from Brevard Child's commentary on Exodus, which is a very interesting commentary. You might want to look at that. Brevard Child is not an evangelical, but he traces the history of exegesis, theological significance, literary critical assessment of all these passages. Brevard Childs. But if you glance down through that, you notice Call of Moses, plagues of Egypt, Passover, deliverance of the Red Sea, Song of Moses, manna and quail, Sinai covenant, ratification of the covenant, Exodus 24, tabernacle, golden calf. And you may want to, I mean, you could pick from one of those topics, passages, you could choose your own. Those are just some suggestions. But that is one of the requirements for the course. An essay on a passage or topic of your choice from the book of Exodus. I'd say make that 10 to 15 pages, something like that. I'm not looking, don't go greatly beyond that. Try to limit yourself to that. Yes? You mean how do you find what is antecedent to the passage you're dealing with?
Yeah.
I think that just has to come from your own reflection on the passage and of scripture prior to that. I don't know of a source where you could, for any given passage, say take one of these one of these topics here, the call of Moses. What is there in Scripture that is similar in some way that may anticipate the call of Moses? You could go back to the call of Abraham, for example, and see what I'm saying? Yes.
What kind of form do you want to follow? It's called what? Have to be terrain or something like that?
Just be consistent.
Back notes?
Yeah, that's all right. That's all right. I'd say with form, follow a standard form, whether it's Turabian, Chicago, or whatever. And just be consistent. Yeah. How many pages? 10 to 15. All right, second page of that first handout, objectives. Just list the required reading, the three books, Gerhard Hassel, Walter Kaiser, Palmer Robertson. Written assignments on the due date of each reading assignment, brief written responses to questions on the reading are to be turned in. I already mentioned that. There are sheets with questions that you have. And then, second thing is each student's prepare a biblical theological essay on a passage or topic of his or her choice derived from the Book of Exodus. This essay is due on November 5th. So that's next to the last session. And I'd suggest that you sort of get into this quickly and sort of work on this alongside of this reading as we progress. And of course, don't let it go till the end of next month. 10 weeks just goes so fast with this quarter system. Then the reading schedule. And finally, grading, three factors. A third the weekly written assignments, a third the essay, and a third a final exam. Yes? Increase? Oh, any quiz? No. No. No quiz. Yeah.
Will the final exam be taken from the questions that you give us, the discussions around the questions?
Yeah, right. And I'll probably give you some specification even further of, say, a sheet of study questions from which I will draw. But those study questions would be compiled from these other sheets. These weekly
readings?
Yes. No, from the readings. Because the class discussion is going to follow the same question. With the exception of today. So, you know, maybe some of what we're talking about today, but otherwise. Okay, any questions on method of approach or what we're aiming to do? I think that with Walt, I think probably Waltke would say, in light of New Testament, you can even find a meaning for an Old Testament statement that you wouldn't even think was included or wasn't even there. In other words, it lifts that Old Testament statement into a higher realm. I'm not ready to go that far with him. But on the other hand, you see, if you take some of these topics. Say the Passover, that's number 3. Can you really discuss the Passover without New Testament light? Christ is our Passover? I mean, you could discuss it, but are you fully understanding the significance of that Old Testament event if you don't put it in connection with New Testament revelation. I don't think so. I think we have a more full and complete understanding of the Passover than the ancient Israelite did. And it seems to me that since we have that, it's certainly not improper to draw those lines of connection between the Old Testament teaching and the New Testament teaching. Well, then I think you have to be careful.
That's right.
That's right. And there's, the way you draw that line is it's hard to know exactly where to draw it and how to draw it. But Kaiser will discuss certain passages in his theology, you'll find, like, say, the Joel passage on the outpouring of the Spirit, or the Isaiah 7:14 passage on the virgin birth, and refuse to bring New Testament light to bear on the exegesis of that Old Testament passage. I think it impoverishes his understanding of that Old Testament passage in cases like that. So I think he's aware of this other problem, but I think he's reacted too strongly in limiting himself, whereas somebody like Waltke, I think, goes too far toward almost a reading of meanings on Old Testament passages that may or not even be there. So that, somewhere in between seems to me to have most to be said for it. Look, manna and quails. You certainly can understand the significance in the immediate context of where Israel was in the wilderness of the manna and quails. But then Jesus says that Jesus makes reference that he is the bread from heaven and draws the contrast between that bread and himself. And a lot of these themes you'll find New Testament connections with them. So. No, I don't think it loses its significance. I think it just points, you see that it is pointing beyond itself. It certainly keeps its own meaning in its own context, but if you get into this thing of progression of redemptive history, and you really get into typology here, because whether you're talking about manna or you're talking about the tabernacle, they had a significance here in the Old Testament context, but they pointed to a higher revelation of the same principle further down the line in the development of redemptive history. You get a typological connection, it seems to me. Well, any other questions? Yeah. No, I don't think Kaiser would deny typology. And I'm sure he wouldn't. All I said about Kaiser is that often you'll find that when he discusses a given passage, Old Testament passage, he will limit his discussion to antecedent context to throw light on its meaning and refuse to look to later. That's a, in a certain sense, an unfortunate wording, I think, that he uses there. He is qualified, though, by that, or is that, those antecedent contexts which were in the scripture writer's mind as he wrote, as indicated by the same terminology, formulas, or events. So you see his objective criteria for determining what, quote, was in the writer's mind are same terminology, formulas, or events. So where you find similar terminology, the assumption is that reflects the earlier terminology. But, as you say, how do you know what was in his mind? It's somewhat speculative. I agree with that. See, that brings up another issue, and that's just another issue on which I would disagree with Kaiser, this thing of sensus plenior. Could a writer in the Old Testament speak better than he knew? Is there a fuller meaning to some Old Testament statements that go beyond the original meaning of the writer and his understanding. I would say because of the Holy Spirit superintending that writing, that that is possible, that some of these Old Testament writers spoke better than they knew. Kaiser denies that. So you see, it kind of goes together. That's a whole other issue. On that issue, this selected bibliography, if you look towards the end, I think there's a section on that. Yeah, page 13. If you're interested in that debate, census plenty of. See under Kaiser there, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, there's 5 entries. And particularly the middle article, the single intent of Scripture. And the last one, a response to author's intention and biblical interpretation. He deals with that, but it comes up in all of those articles. If you're interested in that issue, you might want to look at some of these articles. I think he alludes to it. But it's not discussed at length like it is in these. You know, I'd have to... I think in footnotes he refers you back to some of these other things, my recollection. But as far as the bibliography generally, I just give you this. Now, there's an awful lot of material here. I realize you're not going to have the time to read all this. But it is a source of reference if you're interested. You notice the headings. The first is Biblical Theology. It's on page 1. Page 3, Old Testament Theology, Method and Trends. Page 7, Old Testament Theologies. And then page 9, Revelation and History in the Old Testament. That question. 11, Narrative Theology. 12, Typology. 13, Census Plenia. Those are the headings. They're somewhat arbitrarily chosen, but there's material under each of those headings. Let me just call your attention to a few specific items. Under Biblical Theology, first page, I'd suggest the last two articles there. Next to the last article, Gap in Systematic Theology and Biblical Theology in the Westminster Journal. And then he's the editor of Voss's Redemptive History and Biblical Interpretation, the shorter writings of Gerhard S. Voss. There's an introductory essay in that volume about Voss's biblical theology. Then over on page 2, Gerhard Hassel, Future Biblical Theology and Biblical Theology Then, Now, and Tomorrow. Tomorrow's not spelled. John Murray, two articles on systematic theology in which he compares systematic theology with biblical theology. At down towards the bottom, Stendhal, that should be K, not E. Change that E. Christer Stendhal. That article, Biblical Theology, Contemporary, in the Interpreter's Dictionary of the Bible, is a very influential article. Now, Christer Stendhal is not an evangelical, but you'll get the perspective of the methodology reflected in most of modern theology toward biblical theology from his article. Bottom of the page, Peter Verhoef, some thoughts on present-day situation biblical theology. He's a Reformed evangelical writer from South Africa. And that's a good article. And then Voss's article, the idea of biblical theology as a science and as a theological discipline in the book edited by Gaffney. Now, those are some articles. You see, that's on the larger subject, biblical theology. When you get to Old Testament theology, Method and Trends, there were a series of articles in the early 60s in the Expository Times. Notice the first entry, Peter Ackroyd, G.A.F. Knight's A Christian Theology of the Old Testament, Expository Times, pages 164 to 168 from 1961. Ackroyd gives a review of Knight's Old Testament theology. And there were a series of those articles. The second one, G.W. Anderson, gives a review of Friesen's Outline of Old Testament Theology. And then down under James Barr, Gerhard von Rad's Theologie des Alten Testaments. And down a little further, John Bright, Edmund Jacob's Theology of the Old Testament. I think that's the four that were reviewed. But if you give you some sort of an idea of the approach of Knight, Friesen, von Rad, and Jacob by just reading those articles in Expository Times. Otherwise, there are the articles by John Goldengay, page 4. I'd say the first one's probably for Old Testament theology, probably the one that's most directly concerned with Old Testament theology. The others certainly touch on it. You notice the one, Diversity and Unity in Old Testament Theology. And then Gerhard Hassel, page 5. Gerhard Hassel's probably written more than any other person. And he reflects a generally evangelical approach. I think he is Seventh-day Adventist. I'm not absolutely certain of that, but that's my impression. That doesn't come through in his writings, but a generally evangelical view of Scripture and approach to theology seems to be where he is. There's 1, 2, 3, 4. There are 5 articles there. See, most of them are surveys. The book you are reading is the first entry. Then the article, The Problem of the Center in the Old Testament Theology Debate. You'll read about this in his book as well. Is there any organizing principle around which you can draw together all the material of the Old Testament? And then A Decade of Old Testament Theology, Retrospect and Prospect. That was in 1981. Major recent issues in Old Testament theology, 78 to 83. That was in 1985. And then the Old Testament theology from 78 to 87 in 88. So sort of keeps you up to date with summaries of what's going on in the field, which this book does too. But this book was published in, 82? Yeah, it was revised in 82. And then the other book, I meant to bring that, and I see I didn't, that I'd like to call your attention is the next entry, J.H. Hayes and F. Prussner, Old Testament Theology, Its History and Development. That's a book-length treatment of history and development of Old Testament theology, which is not written by evangelicals, but it's a pretty good historical survey of the discipline. Right under that, Walter Kaiser, The Center of Old Testament Theology, The Promise. That's Walter Kaiser's organizing principle. Now, you see that when you read his book, but this is an article where he sort of summarizes the thesis that Promise is the theme around which you can organize the material of the Old Testament. Well, I could go on and on. I mean, there's just volumes of material. Go over to page 7. P.A. Verhoeven, The Relationship Between the Old and the New Testaments, and New Perspectives on the Old Testament, and Martin Wildstra, The Old Testament and Biblical Theology and Dogmatics. two evangelical writers. And then next is just a list of Old Testament theology. See, there are a lot of them. Bottom page 7, on over to top page 9. I'd say about half of these are evangelicals, about half of them are not. The evangelicals would be, I'm speaking broadly, Dumbrell, Durness, Kaiser, Meredith Klein, Chester Lehman, Elmer Martins, Tom McComiskey. George Oehler is an older work, was German. Not sure the date of the original, it was probably late 1800s, but quite a good work. J. Barton Payne, O. Palmer Robertson, Gerhardus Voss. I think there was a question a moment ago. Those were all evangelicals among those lists. Okay, I think I'll stop with that. My eye falls on another article. Page 10, good article. Historical Criticism and J.G. McConville, Historical Criticism and Biblical Theology, and Issues in Faith and History. See, that's under the heading Revelation and History in the Old Testament. Article by McConville. And also, I guess, under this Hassel's article, The Problem of History in Old Testament Theology, G.F. Hassel. And I guess over to page 11, Voss, Christian Faith and Truthfulness of Bible History. Okay, I'll stop with that. Just to give you that material, sort of call your attention to some of that, and if you have any spare time, you can do some reading. Yes?
Does some of your Old Testament theology cover advocates for the value of the Old Testament laws?
Generally, that's not treated in, you know, these. If you looked at these books, they're listed as Old Testament theology. There is not a great deal of attention generally given to that in them. Now, Walter Kaiser himself wrote another volume called Toward an Old Testament Ethic, and he treats the laws and their implications in that volume under ethics more than he does under theology.
How would you define a general standard or rule by which we could assess that question?
The relevance of Old Testament law for today?
When it comes to teaching those passages, I just have problems with going out and
I don't know that I can give you a rule of thumb for that. That is a very involved and difficult question. Oh, I'd look at Kaiser's volume on Toward an Old Testament Ethic. Yeah. I think that's a good book. And he pretty well handles all the different types of Old Testament law.
And how the present Jews are handled.
Yeah. But I think you'll find within the Jewish community there's probably as much difference on that as there is outside of it, depending on where you go and what, you know, what. Yeah. I thought what I would do then for the rest of today is work with this handout, The Idea of Biblical Theology. I think think what we'll do is read through this material, and if you have some questions, comments, or points you'd like to discuss further, maybe we can do that. I think maybe before we do that, we ought to take a 10-minute break. It's a little bit early, but then we wouldn't have to break in the middle of this. Why don't you come back in about 3 minutes before the hour, and we'll look at this as the second hour. Okay?
What
time is this? 10 minutes of 4.
2 hours.
It's a 2 hour class. Yeah, this is an STM level course. 3 hours credit, but we meet 2 hours. Which means the assumption is you're going to spend a bit more time outside of class on these assignments.